Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who has one-on-one meetings with survivors most Thursdays for the last 12 years. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Rob Has a Podcast here for a Survivor Recap, episode number 5 of season 42. And we've got a fun one here today because my great friend, Teresa T-Bird Cooper, is going to be with us to talk about everything that's going on here in the world of Survivor. Of course, Survivor Know-It-Alls last night with Steven, another fun one. Check that out. I spoke with Daniel this morning. Be sure to check out the Exit Interview podcast. Of course, those are on video as well this season. And then we've got our Survivor Feedback Show coming up later on this weekend. Get your feedback questions in for Shannon Gus coming up on Friday night. RobHasAWebsite.com/voicemail and be on the lookout for Survivor Academy with Asia Welch. But let's bring in our guest here today to talk about everything happening in the world of Survivor. Please give it up for a woman who brings so much light to the Survivor world. Here she is. It's T-Bird.
If you stay here and listen.
Yes.
That is so wonderful. Thank you for that wonderful intro.
Yes, well, nobody could do justice to you, T-Bird.
Rob, we have not talked. I don't know how long it's been since we've had a conversation together about Survivor. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, and I've missed you so much because, Rob, you know you're my number one.
Oh, you say that to everybody, T-Bird. I saw Survivor Africa. One. Yeah, come on. Yes.
I don't know. It almost worked for Swati. I don't know. It almost did.
Yes.
I don't know.
T-Bird. T-Bird, so many of the listeners said to me, when will we hear from T-Bird again? I miss T-Bird. I said, okay, we got to get T-Bird back on the podcast soon. So glad we were able to work this out. So nice to hear your voice back on the podcast. How are you doing?
Rob, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. You, our family, RHAP and the listeners, our family. And I couldn't be doing a better recap because last night we had a big event in Atlanta at Rob Park Academy. And I got some survivors were there. More family was there.
Yeah.
And to watch it in a large group, in a big auditorium, on the big screen, mm-hmm. with so many RHAP listeners and fans made it just super, super special. So this is an absolutely perfect time for me to be talking Survivor with you.
Anytime's a perfect time, T-Bird.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay.
All right.
We'll talk Survivor for sure and hear about everything that went on from Wednesday night at the event. But what's going on outside of Survivor? How's everything going for you?
Well, Rob, everything's going good. I'm flying still and everything's kind of getting back to normal, you know.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. And that's a great, great thing. Hopefully we'll be coming out of our mask in the next couple of weeks. So that'll make it really back to normal. But as far as for our Delta flights, we're full. I mean, we're gearing up for the summer travel and it's wonderful to see people out and about again. It's absolutely wonderful. So very, very blessed to be doing that. The kids are great. Glenn is great. He got me all set up today. So, you know, it's been a while since he's had to set me up, but mm-hmm. everything's good. And Rob, the number of people that came up to Glenn last night at the event and were talking to him about how he is your angel that you always talk about. He set me up. It was so cute. It was so wonderful because he goes to a lot, you know, the man behind the curtain. He does so much.
He is the engine that makes talking with T-Bird happen.
He is absolutely the engine. And so for people to come up and make these comments to him, it was absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good.
How are Dominic and Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
I was the first lady of podcasting.
Well, T-Bird, I don't know if you know this since the last time we talked, did you know that we got a puppy?
Yes, I do know that you got a puppy.
Yes.
You sent me, I had texted you for something.
Oh, yes. I sent you a picture of me and the dog. Yeah.
Yeah, so I know life is full at the Sesternino house.
Yeah, I got a lot going on here. Yeah, the kids and the dog, and a great season of Survivor so far.
Okay, so Rob, I know Dominic and Anthony said, Daddy, if you just get us a puppy, we'll do everything. We'll clean up, we'll play with it, we'll take it out for walks.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that worked out?
Well, they don't really do a lot. I mean, they like get the dog worked up. Really, a lot of that has fallen to Nicole. And I was the holdout on getting a dog only because I said, look, I don't mind having a dog, but I got a lot of podcasts to do. Like, I can't be everybody can't be counting on me to take care of the dog. So, Nicole has really stepped up to the plate, and, it's been a little hot and cold with Nicole getting along with the dog. It's a little bit of a fight for supremacy for who's the top dog between, Nicole and Carmella the puppy.
Yeah. Carmella the puppy.
Yes.
So cute.
And Nicole will win.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Every time.
Yeah. They're both very set in their ways. So it's a real battle of the wills.
So has Carmella chewed up the couch yet?
No, please. God forbid.
Of value?
No, not yet. Not yet. Thank God.
Okay.
Thank God.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. All right. Except, I mean, do my kids count?
Carmella's been chewing on the kids.
she bites.
Well, that'll keep them in line right there.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Well, T-Bird. Okay, so Survivor 42 is here, and it's been such a fun season. I think we're off to such a great start. This really feels to me, and I don't want to jinx it or anything like that, that it really feels like that we are on the path here to, I think, maybe like one of like the great modern seasons of Survivor that we talk about, like a David versus Goliath, like a Millennials versus Gen X. That if I may look, your mileage may vary on what your favorite seasons are, but in terms of the seasons that in the real time people are saying, okay, you know, is this a top 10 season? I feel like that we are headed down that road.
I think you absolutely could be right about that. Oh, so you mentioned David versus Goliath, and I got to throw in Cagayan. Those are my
Of course.
I never say it right, but those two are my top, you know, top five, if not top two. But yeah, and you know what? Absolutely, and I like it. Okay, here I go. I love the cast. What a phenomenal cast, and that makes all the difference. I love how they're telling their backstories. Cast is fantastic. And I tell you what I like from S42 that with S41.
Look at you, S42.
I know, because that's what it's called now. And I was going to say, that's the one thing when you wait, isn't it S42? Yeah, wrong.
I mean, I don't hear people like, throw around S42 too much.
Well, what do we call it?
No, let's do it. Let's do it. S42.
Because, Rob, this is the
thing. I love you on S3.
No, you see, we have a name. We have a name.
Oh, S Africa.
And that's so important because
that could be confusing because you might think it's South Africa.
Right. Well, that's true. But I'm really proud to say I was on Survivor Africa. I mean, that's a big thing for me. I mean, I love that. And I wish that these players had a name other than saying, now we're going to say S42. I think it just gives it so much character to have a name. Even I know they're filming in Fiji, you know, for the last quite a few seasons, but they could name it something like Survivor. I don't know, Bunny Rabbit
in the mailbox,
or Bunny Rabbit mail, or Survivor Potato Skin, or potato Grayson Soccer, or something to give it its own thing. So, you know, but anyway. That's the only thing that I'm not really crazy about. But yeah. What I was going to say, Rob, I love that now with S42, I understand a lot more of what's going on with the, you know, the extra vote. The wear advantage, the amulet, which I don't know what an amulet is or if I'm saying it right or what it is. And the shot in the dark. When season 41 aired, all this stuff was going on. I'm like, I don't even know what's happening. Yeah. I don't know what all that is. And I don't think I'm going to be able to figure it out. But now... For S42, I think I've got it. Except
yes.
I really, I don't know what that amulet is. I missed well, that yeah, somewhere that. Along the way. I missed that. No, really. I really missed that along the way.
That's okay.
But, so it might be a really powerful thing, but I'm not just not sure what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, so other than that, yes, I'm loving the season. And again, it's the cast that makes it. And with all these other things thrown in that I actually think I understand now, that mm-hmm. makes it a lot more enjoyable to watch, I think, yeah. when you kind of understand.
So season 41 was like the dry run and the practice run. And now you feel like we're doing it for real here in S42.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. That's the best way to describe it. I think that's good. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I guess we don't have to worry about S43 right now, but
no,
I don't know what they're going to do because, you know, like I had been told, the S42 cast did not see the season 41.
S41, right.
So this was all new to them. So, yeah. it's I don't know what they'll do for the next one, but I'm sure they'll get creative. Absolutely, they will.
No doubt. No doubt. You could take that one to the bank, T-Bird.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. T-Bird, I would love to get your thoughts on, now, I know that you are a fan of Daniel. I've seen you tweeting back and forth with him a couple of times. What did you think about the decision to get rid of him instead of Chanel last night?
Okay, so, yes, I love Daniel. And I love Daniel for several reasons. Do you want to play the hot and cold game?
Okay, sure.
Okay, good.
All right, okay, so, I'm not like Jonathan. I like games.
Okay, good. No, do you really?
Yeah, come on.
That kind of surprised me because I know you don't like surprises.
But I like games.
You like games. Okay, good. So
you know
so
that about me.
Okay, all right. So we're going
to You
play
talk
hot,
to my
cold
mom.
Game.
You know that I like right. a game show.
Oh, yes. Of course, I knew that. Okay. So I love Daniel for lots of reasons, and I'm sure you love him for lots of reasons too. But for one reason, I love him because he reminds me of two people. One person I know you already know because from the minute I saw him on the big screen, I'm like, oh my gosh, that reminds me of...
Who? Oh, okay. So I have to guess.
We're playing the right. cold game.
Who does he remind you of? Adam Klein. Okay.
Not Adam Klein. Seriously, you seriously are not knowing this right now?
Okay, so is it a survivor? Is it an actor?
Yeah, okay.
Albert Brooks.
Okay. Yeah, oh my gosh! Yes, Albert Brooks. That's exactly right. Well,
yeah.
That's not the survivor I was thinking. I can't believe you just guessed that.
Okay.
I can't believe you just guessed that. Yes, okay. He reminds me, you are hot on fire right now.
Yeah.
So he reminds me of Albert Brooks. And he reminds me of a survivor that I absolutely adore.
Rick Devons?
Yes! Yes, Rick Devons.
Yes.
So he's got that right off the bat going for him. So I love that. I love that he is such a fan of you, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
RHAP, listening to all your podcasts. So he's such a fan. So he was family before he was family.
Yes.
So that makes him equally special. I can see, did they make the right decision last night voting him out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to say, I think they might have made a wrong decision with that.
Okay, well, let me ask you, let me phrase the question this way. That do you feel like that, who do you think is more likely to stick with the group of Lydia, High, and Mike heading into this 444 merge coming up in next week's episode?
Daniel.
Interesting.
And let me tell you why I say Daniel. I mean, I don't know for sure, Daniel, but even when High and Lydia were talking and giving their comments, I think High said Chanel is harder to read.
Yeah.
And Lydia said... Lydia said something. She said something like, I don't fully trust Chanel. And Lydia said that Daniel is a liability. And even though he wanted her out, I think he's a lot more transparent.
Yes.
And it's the players. Yeah. It's the players like Chanel. Great social game. Very likable. Very calm under pressure. those are the players you've got to really watch out for. And I really, really like Chanel. I think she's really, really strong player. So I'm only saying I think they made a bad decision because I think Daniel is a lot easier to read than Chanel is.
You know, so now that we're talking it through, that I feel like that in some ways, I think that Daniel might be a little bit like Jonathan Penner. In that Jonathan Penner is like a pretty straight shooter when it comes to Survivor. And a lot of times he, you know, says exactly how he feels. And I think at times could be the victim of potentially like talking too much to the point where sometimes people don't trust him because he says too much and they could sort of be like put off by, you know, just like how open he is. And I wonder if that could be a thing with Daniel where, like, when he talks so much at these tribal councils, people are feeling a little bit like, well, I don't know what he's going to say next or what's going to come out of his mouth.
Right. Yes. I mean, he's kind of, I just think he is so open, though, and lets you know what he's going to do. Again, you know, you can see what he's going to do. So, again, and because, you know, even Chanel at Tribal Council, when Daniel said that he was going to be, and it was a good attempt on Daniel's part. I got to give it to him because in the moment when you're playing the game, you get really pulled in with emotion. Absolutely pulled in. I mean, I know it's only what day 11 and you've just met these people, but when Daniel tells you you're going to be his lifelong friend forever, and I'm going to put you in my will, and
I don't know if he said I'm going to put you in my will. I think he said that you're going to die before me, Mike, and maybe I'll be in your will.
Yeah, that's why I threw that in there. Mm-hmm. I put you in my will, although I know you're going to probably go before me. Yeah,
let's put each other in our wills. How about that?
Yeah. And since you're so much older, poor Mike at 58, mm-hmm. that's certainly. Anyway, so, I mean, that was really a smart thing for Daniel to do, I think. He pulling him in, bringing in the emotional, you know, we built such a great bond together. But then Chanel, her calm, cool self, says, wait a minute. He's in the moment. He's saying these things. And she didn't get all crazy excitable when she was saying it. She just calmly stated it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and it was perfect. And she was right. And I'm sure that, you know, everybody probably was listening. I mean, she just handled it beautifully. She really did. So, you know, again, as great a game as High is playing, and I think he's definitely controlling between him and Lydia. I think High is definitely the one in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, him just saying that, you know, Chanel is harder to read and that's dangerous. Yep, that's dangerous. So I can see Chanel actually flipping, you know, once they go to whatever this merge that we think is going to happen next week.
Yeah.
I can see her finding another way and easily forming a bond with some of these on the other tribe, where I think that Daniel would have probably been more loyal and thinking, hey, I've opened my mouth enough. I better just stay where I am and just, you know, see what happens. So I don't know. We'll see.
T-Bird, so in Survivor Africa, S3. So S Africa. So there were probably a couple of times where your name was on the chopping block. Is that fair to say?
Okay. Yeah, we can say that. Okay, one time. Actually, until I got voted out, one time.
Okay. But there were a few different times when people were deciding, okay, who do we get rid of? And you were one of the names. Is that fair to say?
Okay. So, yes, before the merge, right now, just like it happened last night, before the merge, they said, the Mallrats, I'll say that lovingly, the Mallrats said, we need to get rid of T-Bird now because when we merge, they're going to like her. And she's going to jump to the other side. So I already knew that. It was me. And then Linda Spencer.
It was me.
God love her. Linda Spencer went off on Lindsay. Thank you, Linda Spencer, And when she did that, they said, she's gone. So it's so fun to watch the shows now because you know that one move can change everything. One, you know, can change it up. And that changed it up for them because they needed to get rid of me. So from there, we did merge. I went to the other side, and then I lobbied to get Silas off. And so that's when everything kind of spiraled down for, you know, for the younger guys, for the okay. mall rats. So
T-Bird, when you know your name is in the conversation, okay, you're on the list of names that could go home at the Tribal Council, what is your approach in terms of trying that? Would you say it's more of the Daniel, I want to talk with everybody, or is it a little bit more cards closer to the vest?
I think I'd be, well, you know, and now that's a great question you just asked me. And I know several weeks ago, it seems like, and you can kind of remind me because I've got them, that somebody was on the chopping block to go and they didn't even try to change anybody's mind. Was it this season? I mean, God, we're already what into?
Was it Mariah? Jenny?
No, because I think Jenny was. Well, you know what I'm saying. This season, certainly it could have been Swathi. No, it wasn't just Swathi because that just happened.
Was it Zach?
I don't remember that. No, I don't think it was Zach either. Okay, just forget that. Forget that.
It must have happened at one point, right?
It's happened where people just kind of give up and say, that's it. I'm not, you know, I know it's me. And I'm like, what? Why would you ever quit playing the game? Even at Tribal Council, when you can stand up and you can say, mm-hmm. you know, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. I mean, you've got to do all you can do to stay in. So in the case last night, I know Daniel, I was surprised that he did not play a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. However, you know, now looking back, Hy did a phenomenal job, which again, I said he's leading the bunch over there. He did a great job of convincing Daniel it was going to be Chanel. Such a great job that even though Daniel had to know he was on the outs, had to know he wasn't bringing a lot of value because of his shoulder, which, you know, of course, you know, and I'm sure the others knew he was limited with what he can do with his shoulder. Hy still convinced him that it was Chanel going and not him. So he mm-hmm. was a shot in the dark. And also that brings me to Chanel, who was so ahead of the game that she voted for Mike.
Yes.
Thinking ahead that, you know what, if these votes get split,
yeah,
I'm going to be in trouble. Or if Daniel plays a shot in the dark, which you
and
would
it
think
hits.
That, yeah. If you would, you would think Daniel would have played a shot in the dark. So she puts a vote on Mike. I'm thinking, you know, that was brilliant. She's great. She's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
Really good player. Really sharp, sharp player and likable and social. So
right.
I don't even know if that answered the question, but there I was going in a circle.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if maybe because, Chanel didn't seem to be as, I don't want to say panicked, but, you know, it seemed like that for Daniel, he seemed like that he was a little bit more, you know, back against the wall, where I feel like that Chanel played it a little bit more cool. That I feel like that we see this a lot in Big Brother, where there's two people who are up on the block and the one person is like really trying hard to campaign and stay. And the other person's like a little bit like, you know, just much more low key in their campaigning. And I think a lot of times people say like, okay, we gotta get out the person who is really trying to, you know, change the vote.
Well, again, there are some people when they get in that position to just throw in the towel and say, well, it's going to be me. That's just the way it is. But again, yeah, you did see two different strategies with Daniel and with Chanel. And again, Chanel, even though she was very nervous about being voted out, She still played it very calm. She still made a point to agree with him about Daniel going out fishing.
Yeah.
When he had a bad shoulder, which I think that was kind of played up. But good for Chanel for helping to play that up, because you know that the medical people told Daniel probably he's got to be extremely careful with that shoulder. And right. I'm sure his tribe mates knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes out to fish. Now, he could have brought some fish in. He absolutely could have. So that he went out there and wasn't scrambling, was very calm, I thought was a good way for him to play it too, saying, hey, I'm in, y'all are in no danger with me. I'm basically, once we merge, I'm not going to be strong in competitions when it comes to the one-on-one competitions. So Chanel, who was very sharp with physically and with her puzzles and everything, so I don't know. They both played it completely differently, but I think they both did a great job. And I still think that Chanel was the one they should have stayed targeted on for the reasons we already talked about.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to watch, because we have so many of these decision points where every one of these votes in the pre-merge was like, should it be this person or this person? And it's like, it comes down to like almost all of them about who can we trust, not necessarily about, you know, who's better in the challenges or any other like skill set that they can provide to the tribe. Almost every single time, it's like, can we trust this person or not heading into the merge? And so we'll see like how many times they got it right and got it wrong when we go and take a look at like what's going to happen when Chanel gets to the merge. What's going to happen when Tori gets to the merge? Marianne, also another person who was, potentially on the chopping block when Mariah ended up going home. So we'll see once we get to next week.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? You mentioned about Tori. So for last week, I think the same thing. I think, you know, they should have held on to Swati and let Tori go, because we already know from watching this week, and Tori, of course, she's priceless, her the eyes rolling and the head shaking and all that. You know, it's just great. It makes for great TV. But we already know Tori's going to jump ship. And she, again, though, I guess she's easy to read, which I guess Swati really wasn't. So it's going to be interesting to see who Tori gravitates to. I really am not sure that anybody is going to really embrace Tori from the other, you know, when they merge. And what do we know? Are they going to merge 6-6 or 4-4-4? We don't know.
Well, I think it's going to be 4-4-4. And I guess the question on everybody's mind this week is, are we going to get another hourglass twist?
Oh, yeah, the hourglass.
Remember that, T-Bird?
Yes, with Erica. Did I mention I love Erica? Oh, my gosh. I loved Erica before I loved Erica. And that was, you know, yeah, the hourglass.
What do you mean by that? I loved Erica before I loved Erica.
Well, I mean, a lot of people love a winner. Well, I guess not always. But even when she was Odd Man Out and just watching her story and her precious, cutest little personality.
All the front runners came out, and then once she won, they were like, I love Erica, but you loved her before that.
I did. Because when we did our podcast, I remember thinking, well, I wasn't just thinking, I was telling you that I really loved her. And since I'm spreading the love for this season, the minute they showed Erica, I loved her. And the same way, you probably already know who I'm going to say, Marianne.
Oh, Marianne. My gosh. Yes.
She is. Don't even get me going on Marianne. So when they're showing Marianne.
Yes.
With the editing, with, you know, getting with, is it Jonathan? Yeah. How could I not know that? Jonathan.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Jonathan's 29. I thought he was older than that.
Maybe he's very mature.
I think he is very mature.
Yeah.
I think he's very mature. He's playing.
How old did you think he was, T-Bird?
I would have probably guessed 35, 36.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a big difference, but in his 20s, very mature.
Well, he's tall for 29.
Oh, he's tall. Okay. That's,
yeah.
That's what threw me off.
Yeah.
That's right. But he's, oh, I like him.
Because he's so big. That's why you thought he was older.
Yeah, I think so. So, no, and he's just very mature. He's, and I, as each week, now, I love Marianne immediately. Yeah. Now, as each week has gone, Jonathan, again, I've love him every week it goes. I love him too, because he seems like such a genuine, real, sincere guy. And usually, not always, but a lot of times the guys that play the, well, what do you call them? The big guys, the masculine, strong guys.
Rob, you know, Cesternino?
Okay. The Rob Cesterninos of the game. I did not want to say that, but you kind of forced my hand. The Rob Cesterninos of the game sometimes have an attitude, and they play it like Silas played in Africa.
Yeah.
Played it, you know, I'm in charge and the masculine. Jonathan's like a gentle giant. He's almost like, I know he's aware of it, of his size, but he's still, the way he bonded with Omer, oh, I love Omer. I love him too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I love Omer too. The way he's bonded that with his tribe, and with Lindsay, who, by the way, I love her too. And these characters, I'm going to call them characters, are all so different. All such different walks of life. And they're brought together, and they've got such a strong, it looks like, sincere bond. And when we, when Jeff pulled Jackson out of the game, when I loved Marianne before the Jackson emotion.
Yeah.
But when she reacted like she did, with no thought to it at all. It was just a knee-jerk reaction, the emotions she had when Jackson was pulled from the game. I'm like, Marianne, you are a beautiful, beautiful person. So, anyway.
She wears her heart on her sleeve like you do.
I don't even want to think I'm in the same league as her, but that would be a huge compliment, because she is, seems like to be a very, very special, sincere person. So,
but if I may, T-Bird, I do feel like, though, and you know, in doing this podcast with you over the years, like I know how, you know, excited you get about things, and you want to talk about things. But I feel like that on back in S Africa, I felt like that you were pretty much like keeping things pretty close to the vest, and probably like weren't necessarily saying and you know, feel like acting on every, you know, feeling that you had.
Well, during S Africa, you didn't
yes,
say it
as
right.
Frank would say, yes.
Yeah, Africa. Yeah, I did play it. I was very quiet, which is generally not me. Because right out of the gate, I was in the minority as far as being in the mature tribe.
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty much from the beginning, it was hard to act like I normally act, because it was just, right, like I said, right out of the gate. It's not like I was, you know, with six other people there where we all bonded beautifully and we were all working together. It was just from immediately turmoil, immediately. So it's just a little bit different. I mean, if Marianne had been playing S3, Africa, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I think the dynamics of the people you're with also kind of dictate that. And, of course, Marianne's young. She's 24. And when I played, I was like almost twice her age when I played. Mm-hmm. So I think that could make a little bit of a difference also. But I just think she's a very sincere, beautiful spirit.
Absolutely.
And so when they try to show us that Marianne and Jonathan are kind of not getting along, with when Jonathan tried to chop her toes off.
I don't think he tried to chop her toes off.
No, he did not try to chop her toes off. He did not. But I think they're showing us that because they need to distract us from the Marianne and Jonathan and Lindsay, you know, in the Omer relationship.
Well, do you think that's all? You think it's just smoke, that you feel like that they're going to stick together? They're going to be fine when they get to the merge?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. 100%. I really do. I really absolutely. And you know, Omer, and do you know, and Marianne are both from Ontario, from Canada. Okay. What? So, I mean, right out, I mean, they have a bond. They have to have a bond because, you know, like versus like, when you put out there, you're going to gravitate, right? You're going to gravitate to the people that are more like you. Mm-hmm. Now, did you do that? Did you gravitate when you were first dropped off?
T-Bird, I'm not sure there was anybody that was like me when I went to go play Survivor.
But there had to have been, for example, on S3 Africa.
Yeah.
When we were dropped off right away when the lines were drawn. The younger people, like versus yeah. like, took off, and that left the mature players left. So they formed a bond very quickly because of their age.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like with Marianne and Omer, both being from Ontario, that's a pretty cool bond right there.
Yeah.
That's a very cool bond. So,
so you
never had that? You had to have had that with somebody.
No, you know, not really. Like, again, like the makeup of the game at that point back in time, back in S6 or S Amazon, if you will, you know, it was like we were on a tribe. It was all guys. So maybe if you're in a mixed sex tribe, then maybe there might be some bonding over that. Like, it wasn't like there was anybody from my area in terms of that. Like, the young people, like I didn't really have that much in common with them. It really was kind of like after we switched, and like that Dina and Jenna were both like super fans of Survivor, and I feel like that's probably one of the things that I bonded with people the most, the people that were the other like big fans of Survivor.
Right. Okay, well since you were the masculine type, the Hercules, the Thor, if
yep,
you will, because
yep.
we've already established that.
Yes.
Who else was the other Hercules Thor out there with you on S6?
Well, I mean, there was Matthew, who, you know, certainly like knew his way around the jungle. But like the two guys who were sort of like the biggest, like strongest guys in the group, they were also the people that didn't really fit in with the rest of the tribe.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, that didn't work for yours. Okay.
Yeah, they got along with each other. Right.
What about All-Stars? You don't even want to talk about
no,
All-Stars.
Well, I mean, I was the one that didn't get along with anybody in the tribe. I mean, I thought I got along with them, but I guess that they didn't necessarily love me. Maybe I was more of like, the way that they talk about Marianne is the way that my tribe talked about me.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. He's so annoying. When is this guy going to ever shut up?
No, I don't.
Never. I never.
Well,
okay? Take
you know
that, Shapira.
Well, Rob, you know what's interesting when you say that? So the first couple of episodes, when Marianne was so spirited and colorful and energetic, it didn't seem like Lindsay was doing that. But Lindsay is starting to do that now. I mean, last night, I think we saw her kind of falling into the, you know, doing the chitty chatty stuff and the, like, what was Jonathan going there? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Going in like
yeah.
that. Well, she really wasn't doing that before, was she?
Yeah, maybe is Marianne bringing Lindsay over to, you know, she's rubbing off on Lindsay.
Right. I guess so.
Yeah.
I think so. And also, we already know, again, Marianne and Lindsay look like they're tied in. I know when she walked off with Jonathan, when Jonathan was saying something about her being a little bit, you know, it was getting to him. You know, and Lindsay kind of agreed, but what are you going to do? I mean, other than if you're at tribal council and Daniel's trying to get you to say, like, Chanel, didn't you want to go for Lydia? Other than that, you normally would just probably say, yeah, you know, I agree. Just kind of for conversation. So obviously Lindsay's okay with it. Omer and Marianne from Ontario, they're close. So I think this tribe is going to stay solid. I don't care what the editing shows us. That's what I think. And maybe it's because that's what I want to think. Because, Rob, I love to see people play this game. And again, I got to refer back to S3 Africa.
Yes.
Because this destroyed my game. But I still, the part of it that I love is that Ethan, Lex, and Big Tom could not be broken up. Yeah, they talked about it here and there. but they were so loyal that they took it to the end. And you really don't see that anymore. You see, just with all these different idols that are in play. Did we mention the idols? There's a beware. There's an extra vote. There's something called an amulet that I still don't know what that is. There's a shot.
What,
in the dark.
What do you want to know about the amulet?
I don't. First of all, how do you spell it?
A-M-U-L-E-T.
Well, amulet sounds like something you'd wear on your bracelet, like a charm
yes,
or something.
Yes.
Oh. Well, what's that do?
That, well, are you sitting down, T-Bird?
Absolutely, I am.
Okay. So if there's three of them that have it, okay?
Oh.
Drea, Hi, and Lindsay, they all have it. If they work together, they can trade in their, they can each trade in their amulet for an extra vote. Okay. It's like, so what? All right. Then if one of them gets voted out, then there's only two of them with an amulet. They could trade that in for steal a vote.
Oh,
to steal somebody's
Lord.
Vote and use it against them, maybe.
Okay.
Or use it against somebody else. And then if it gets down to one amulet, that amulet becomes a hidden immunity idol.
Mm-mm. Rob, this is kind of like saying, you know, this person's married to, you know, my cousin that's married to my third cousin.
Who's saying they're married to my cousin?
No. I'm just saying this is like when somebody tries to explain who somebody is and
oh.
It's like, no, it's just too much. So the amulet. Okay. Well, I guess I might as well learn about this since you have gone to a lot of trouble to start telling me about this. Dre, Hi, and Lindsay have an amulet. Now,
yeah.
They have to wait till they merge together to be able to use them. So whether,
yeah.
Right, they have to all be together on
yes.
one tribe. So
yes.
I don't know how I missed this. Was this in the first show? I don't know.
It was
what
in
happened.
The first show. Did you watch it that night or you were watching Masked Singer?
Well, I might have been watching. I don't know what I was doing, but I think because we were going into so many different things again, I'm like, oh, Lordy, here we go again with all this stuff. I kind of just let it slip through, but I think it's going to be kind of important. Now, let me ask you this. If
okay.
Dre gets voted out, which, by the way, I do not think she will. I do not think she will.
She's going to win.
Voted out. You know what? Yes, I believe that Dre's going to win. Oh, my gosh. Winner choice right there. I didn't want to tell you yet, but there it is.
You just did. Too late.
Okay. Yes. Dre is who I think is going to take it all. Do
yeah,
you know Drea. Why?
Drea.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because
she's Canadian.
Is, okay. Yes, she is. She's Canadian. And guess why else?
Because she has so many advantages.
Yes. And guess why else? Are we playing the hot and cold? Are we playing the hot and cold?
Am I hotter or colder right now?
Well, you hadn't guessed it yet, so I'm going to say cold.
Hmm. She is in great shape.
Well, she is, but that's not why. And look, you just pointed something out to me. I did not even remember that she was from Canada.
Yeah.
I knew she, I think, does she live in Texas?
She lives in Texas, but she's from Montreal.
Oh my gosh. So you just told me something about Drea that even strengthens the reason I think she's going to be the sole survivor. And that's because she's Canadian, which means Marianne and Omar, they're going to have a bond with her. Because
well, Marianne already went to Shipwheel Island with Drea. So I think that there is definitely the possibility
okay.
that Marianne could look to Drea. And also on top of that, that they, in addition to having that, they both have the Beware Advantage idols. And that I think that there is definitely like, you said the thing, I said the thing. Like, I feel like that there's definitely some connective tissue there. So if Marianne is not feeling appreciated by Taku for whatever reason, I think she would be the one to jump ship.
Yeah, I still don't think she's going to jump ship, but I
okay.
think she's, I don't think she's going to jump ship, but I think that she could easily, her and Omar want to pull Drea in, you know, once
mm-hmm.
they do this 4-4-4 or this 6-6, which we don't really know what's going to happen yet.
Okay.
And then remember, which you already know this, once we get where we actually merge and it's individual immunity, Drea is going to be she's going to be solid. She's going to be really strong.
Be solid.
So, but you know how I know you were talking about Potato Gate before and all that stuff. And you
have you been listening to the podcast, T-Bird?
Well, of course.
Oh,
I'm like Daniel. I listen to all your. your stuff. Now, well, I don't listen to
all
everything.
The podcasts, T-Bird.
Okay. I don't listen to all of them, and I don't keep charts and records like Daniel does. How impressive is that? That's like so cool. But no, I listen to you. I know about Potatogate a little bit.
Hold on.
Okay, wait.
Why is Drea going to win?
Well, because like Potatogate, you know how they like to throw in little things? And you're supposed to because they're trying to throw out things to kind of get the viewers and the fans all riled up and excited. But they usually throw in these little bits and pieces. So other than Drea having an amulet, a beware advantage, an extra vote, and being from Canada, which I didn't even know about that, she said, and I quote, "I am survivor rich," end quote. I'm like, that's it. That's the clue right there. She's going to win.
Survivor rich.
I am survivor rich. And I thought, and right away I thought, she's our winner. And then I started thinking.
Well, T-Bird, you're making me think about so you say this is the winner, Drea. Maybe it's like, hey, we really like our potato beware clue, but we don't want to tip off the winner of the season saying it. So we got to like really try to hide Drea. We don't want people to know Drea will win. So we've got to make we'll trick people and not make them think that she's going to find the advantage clue.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow, you could crack this whole thing wide open.
It's all coming together. And then another thing that just doesn't absolutely make her the winner, but it makes me just, you know, like her even more than I've already liked her. When her and Romeo went looking for the idol, and then Romeo was, of course, talking about what a strong, independent, you know, woman that she is, which she is, and likable. And she found that immunity idol that actually looked like it was just sitting right there in the tree for anybody to find. But she started doing the cutest little Drea dance. And I thought,
I didn't even notice that.
Drea, you're just too cute. And you're survivor rich, so you're now my winner pick.
Okay. Did you have a winner pick before that got shifted to Drea?
Okay. Now, remember, I'm going on winner pick based on everything I told you that I know y'all don't want to hear again everything I already said about that. No, I didn't have a winner pick because I always look at who I like. And I like so many of these players.
Well, let me know when you find the player that you don't like, T-Bird.
Well, I'm looking at the list right now, and it's not that I don't like them. I like the ones that tug at my heart a little bit, in a good way. So, you know, Jonathan and Marianne and Omer and Jackson, you know, they all tug at my heart. I didn't get to know Mariah. I didn't get to know Mariah for very long. And, of course, Lindsay, who I love Lindsay. And do you know who she reminds me of? Go with me on this.
Who?
Okay. This is who Lindsay reminds
me of. Hot or cold.
Okay, go. Okay. Should I give you a clue?
Okay, give me a clue.
Okay. She's a more mature woman.
Kim Johnson.
She's not that mature. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just trying to help you with the hot and cold game. I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say you're cold.
Okay. You're cold. Is it a survivor or a celebrity?
Celebrity.
A celebrity. Okay. Is this person a musician?
No. To say that you're cold.
I'm cold. I'm thinking an actress.
You're warm, but that might be a little misleading. You're warm.
Hoda Gatti.
Huh?
Whoa.
What? Who did you say? Hoda?
Yeah.
Lindsay reminds you of Hoda.
I'm just trying to see if I'm getting hotter or colder.
Okay. I'll give you a clue.
Or Hoda.
Cold. You're cold. All right. What does Lindsay do? I mean,
she's a fitness instructor.
Oh, okay. You're getting hot. You're getting very hot.
All right. A famous fitness instructor.
You're very hot.
Okay. Boy, I don't know too many famous fitness instructors.
And her voice reminds me of her too, because she's got that raspy, adorable voice. And that her fitness, her body, where you can tell she's fit and she works at it. And this particular mature woman is known for fitness. Lots and lots of videos, a raspy voice, lots of personality.
I give up, T-Bird. Who is it?
Denise Austin.
Oh, Denise Austin.
Yes. All right. For all you younger people, Google Denise Austin and look at her. Would you say that, mm-hmm. Rob? Would you say Denise Austin?
Hold on. I'm Googling Denise Austin.
Remember, she's done. How old is she now?
I mean, I don't know. Does she want us to say?
Denise or Lindsay? I don't think Lindsay cares.
Denise Austin is 65.
Wow. Do you think she's listening to us?
Denise Austin? I mean, let's do a podcast.
Okay. Well, we are doing a podcast.
Hmm. Yeah.
You mean do a podcast with Denise Austin?
I mean, if Denise is listening.
Well, Denise Austin she's 65, which from where I'm sitting is not too bad. She looks amazing. She looks amazing. Yeah. So that's who Lindsay reminds me of, which is a huge compliment. So I'm just telling you how these people kind of stand out to me for different mm-hmm. reasons that makes me like them. Because you asked me about my winner pick. I'm like, I don't know. I like all these people. Of course, I like Daniel. I think we went over the Rick Devons and the Albert Brooks and huge RHAP guy. I love Daniel. Mike, how can you not love a retired firefighter? Oldest. Was he like the oldest on the group?
Yeah,
I think he is.
I think he might be. Can I stop down on Mike for a minute? How do you feel like he's done so far, T-Bird?
Oh my gosh. So Mike, okay, you're probably going to know this and I don't. Is he a huge Survivor fan? Because you know a lot of these
I think
players.
He's probably a medium Survivor fan. Like, I don't think he has any spreadsheets or anything like that.
Okay, because, you know, a lot of these players are huge fans and have been huge fans and have spreadsheets. Maybe not as thorough as Daniel, but Mike seems like maybe he's watched a few and somebody mentioned, hey, you'd be great at this. And I think he's great because he doesn't seem to be a super fan where he knows a lot of stuff.
Right.
But he knows just enough. Not to be too dangerous with it, but you just like
it. It's weird. Like, I bet, like, if you asked Mike's friends, they'd be like, before he went on the show, is Mike a Survivor fan? They'd be like, oh, that guy is obsessed with Survivor. But then, in this world of people that we know, like, you know, he's probably, you know, not one of the, you know, he's probably in the bottom 10% of people who know about Survivor. But you don't need to know that much. Like, that he knows, you know, enough to be, he's doing great.
Yeah, I think sometimes you can know too much. Sometimes you can know too much, and it's not
knowledge good. Isn't always power, T-Bird.
I know that's absolutely true. Now, but for Mike, I just remember from the start, though, with Mike, how he, which made me think, well, of course, it seems like a lot of people do this, when he let Daniel know right away that he had found the Beware advantage, I'm thinking, I'll always shake my head, which I know a lot of people do. Even Drea, was it Drea that told,
she told Tori and Swathi.
Oh yeah.
She had the extra vote.
Yeah. So even with that, even Drea pulling them in and saying, hey, Tori and Swathi, let's have an all girls alliance. I've got this extra, I don't know if it was the amulet, the Beware, she's got so much going on right now. Did I tell you she's my winner pick?
Yes.
But even for Tori, Swati said, we just need to get her out then. I'm thinking, what? So it's just not a good thing to let people know what you've got. And bless his heart, Mike, he let Daniel know. And what did Daniel say? We might need to go ahead and move him out of here because he's got something extra. So anybody that's going to play in the future, I really encourage you to keep it to yourself. Unless you're Canadians and you got a really tight bond like Marianne and Omer and soon to be Drea, it might work for you. That's all.
Wow. Okay. T-Bird, you could be onto something. What if Canada has another Survivor winner? Do you think that people are going to target the Canadians in season 43?
Oh, absolutely. I know that sounds crazy to say, but I can absolutely see a Canadian. Now, do we have more than three? Because I only thought we had two. We have three. Do we have more than that? Do we have more than that?
Off the top of my head, and maybe that if Sam is listening, maybe we could get a fact check on that. I believe it's just the three.
Okay. Well, three's still a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It is three very strong. Oh, I have to say this. It's three very strong, very likable. Well, I say strong. I mean, they all have their strengths in different ways, but very likable social characters. That looks like they can, you know, they can blend in. So definitely next week when we see how these tribes are divided, you know, we'll be able to tell more. But it's the players like High, strong player also.
Sure.
I'm just trying to look and think. And Lydia, I think Lydia's young. She's 22.
Yeah.
Lydia's a good player. She's a good player too, and probably. I think once they merge, whatever that means, I don't think she'll be a huge threat. I think people will probably navigate toward High first and feel and realize that he's pulling a lot of this, you know, he's the puppet master.
Okay. T-Bird, you're making a lot of predictions on this podcast
today.
Oh
my gosh, yes. Okay? Yes, I am. Okay.
Let me put you in the hot seat. Okay.
Okay.
The next person voted out of Survivor will be who?
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you know, I got to look at my list. So let me
look
see.
At the list.
All right. Her name came right to me. It came right to me. So let me look though, because
to her.
I think Jonathan's going to be safe a little longer. I only say that because of his.
And it could also be that if we get some sort of version of the hourglass twist where it's like it could just be like a six random people could be safe and only six people could be eligible. So you might pick the person who would have gone home if everybody and they may not even be available
sweet.
To be voted for.
You're giving me an out. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say confidently. Oh, I shouldn't have thrown that word in confidently. I'm going to say Tori. Tori, sorry. I mean, because Tori, I think it's been the last few weeks it's looked like Tori. And I know sometimes it can look like somebody, then all of a sudden they end up at the very end. And I'm thinking, okay.
Switches.
You know, because Tori would be a great one to carry to the end. But I'm just not sure how Tori's going to bond. Like, I can think.
I think that's a good pick.
All right. So think about this. Think about Tori. If she was hanging out with Marianne and Lindsay doing all the chitty chat stuff. And then Tori's like, not going to be up for that. Chitting. She's going to be up for that.
No, Tori be like, oh, do you all like Mario Kart? I love Mario Kart. Like, she'll pretend to like whatever they like.
Yeah, but I think they'll probably realize pretty quickly that, you know, well, and all, you know what? I guess I say that so quickly. Tori's 25. Now, Tori seems older to me than 25.
How old does she seem?
Well, actually, she seems 25. That's pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty young. I guess I thought she was in her 30s.
Yeah.
I know she's a therapist.
Well, she's tall.
She's tall. She's tall for 25.
Yeah.
Kind of like Jonathan's tall for 29.
Just like Jonathan.
That's what threw me off. Absolutely. So I think it's harder for Tori. I think they'll see through Tori. I think they'll see through Tori. So I'm going to say Tori. Now, your turn. Who do you think?
The person that I've said that I think is going to, my prediction for the merge boot has been Lindsay. What do you think of that?
I
could give you my reason where I think that where Jonathan is sort of like the big target, and for whatever reason, he ends up immune, then where High and Drea, remember the amulet, that they could make it more powerful if they get rid of Lindsay, and they're looking to vote out somebody from that group. No, other than the Advantage amulet, nobody else has any ties to Lindsay. Omer has like some ties to Chanel. Marianne, as we talked about, has some ties to Drea. And so maybe that you have High and Drea, who are both incentivized to take out Lindsay. You want to take out somebody from the orange team that looks very strong. I think that Lindsay could be a person to keep an eye on for Wednesday.
Okay. You say keep an eye on. You mean that's your pick. That's your pick.
That's my, if I had to put a chip on somebody, that's my sort of like, with not a lot to go off of on a 4-4-4 where anything could happen. That's a reason I think that Lindsay could be the person who goes home on Wednesday.
All right, that's a great pick. I disagree.
Oh, thank you,
Cheaper. But I disagree. I think Lindsay's going to stay around.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tori. And I don't know. I guess I know how I understands this amulet deal, because if he's not a super fan, he's a data scientist. So I know he's got that figured out.
He's got it figured out.
He's got the numbers figured out for sure. And Drea and Lindsay, they're certainly smart girls too. But if for some reason they don't quite understand that amulet thing that you tried to explain to me, they might not be thinking, let's knock one of them off so we can, you know, narrow down the field. I don't know that they'll be thinking about that yet. So I'm going to say those three are going to be good, but they still have to be together. We still have to get them on a tribe together. So I think the chances of those three ending up together is probably not going to happen. So let's see, Dre, Lindsay.
Well, we don't know.
Okay, we don't know, but still, Tori, I'm sorry. I'm going to go for you.
Okay.
But I think it's you, and so we'll see. I think Tori's probably going to say, I've had enough of this game anyway. I'm out. I'm done. I think by
she's going to quit?
Day 50, No. No, I don't think she'll quit.
Okay.
I don't think she'll quit. No, absolutely not. I just think if she thinks it's her, she might not be scrambling. She might say, okay, you know, like we talked about, okay, this is it. I'm done. These people are crazy out here, and I'm done. I can't deal with them anymore.
T-Bird.
What?
T-Bird, let me ask you some questions I have for you from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast. We got a lot of stuff, okay?
Okay.
All right. This is a question that comes to us from Joy Davis. Joy wants to know, I would love to hear a T-Bird invented idol phrase.
Oh! Oh, gosh.
Okay,
oh,
so gosh. I just got here. I'm going to open the Beware Advantage. Like, oh, look.
No,
oh,
wait. If you're going to open the Beware Advantage, you better open it up slowly.
All right. I'm opening up my Beware Advantage. Oh, look at me. Lucky me. And my internal monologue reading tells me, okay, when I go to the immunity challenge, I need to say the following phrase on the mat.
Oh, gosh. Now, this could have been something really cute if I'd had some time to prepare, Joy.
Don't overthink it. Whatever's the first thing that comes into your head.
Oh, God, Rob, I'm so bad on my feet with stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so bad on my feet about, okay, do you have one? No, I'm not going to copy yours because that'd be weird.
Okay. How about, wow, I'm so exhausted from just finishing my Denise Austin workout.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I kind of put you on the spot.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to say, okay, so I'm going to do like Mike did. And okay. tell my little story like Mike did. How many times did Mike say his phrase? Didn't you just have to say it once?
I think you thought he got an extra idol for every time he said it.
I hope he keeps saying it. I love listening to him tell
maybe
a story.
Maybe they made him make up for all the times he didn't say it on the mat. It's like, all right, fine. You don't have to say it this time, but when you say it, you got to say it 9 times.
Okay, so when I didn't think he was going to say it. So when we were watching it last night in the big auditorium at Ron Clark Academy, when it showed on him, it's like, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Because actually, I did not think he was going to do it. And I think a lot of people did not think he was going to do it. So the auditorium busted out in cheers when he started saying it. And I thought, oh, I missed it. But little did I know, he was going to say it several more times, which I was really happy about because every time he said it, I loved it. I'm like, good for you, Mike.
Yes.
Make sure you get that thing activated. Okay, so I'd say, oh my gosh, Jeff, you know, all these fish swimming in the ocean, it just reminds me of a Denise Austin workout video. I had to play off of that. There you go.
Okay, wow. So much Denise Austin talk.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get a podcast with her, so this is just part of pulling her in.
Yeah.
Joy, thank you for that question. I hope I didn't disappoint you. I feel quite sure I did.
T-Bird, you mentioned the viewing party. You were down at the Ron Clark Academy. What was that like watching the episode there?
Oh, gosh. It was wonderful. It was great. Because we had some survivors that were there that I had never met before.
Yeah.
From the older seasons. Well, they're not that older seasons. Mm-hmm. Older seasons. And it's just fun to watch it. You know, usually I'm watching it with Glenn, which, by the way, honey, I love watching it with you. But to watch it with a group of people that are such fans with other survivors, it was just a lot of fun. And this was a great episode because we had a viewing party the last time we had it was Halloween last fall. And it was one where it was a great one because Erica, who I've mentioned to you, I love, and by the way, is Canadian, when she busted the hourglass. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That's when we watched it at Ron Clark Academy before. Nobody got voted out. So as much as you, I hate to say that because somebody's getting voted out and nobody likes that, but you kind of wait for that. You kind of wait that whole 40 plus minutes to see, even though you don't want it to be one of your favorites, that's kind of the buildup. You're building up to that. And so we didn't have that the last time we were at Ron Clark Academy with the group, you know, all the Survivor fans and the RHAP fans.
Right.
So, but we had it last night. So it just made it a lot of fun. Even though, Daniel, I did not want it to be you. Well, I didn't want it to be Chanel either. So see, I like both of them.
So you wish that it was like last season. You wish that nobody went home.
Well, you got to have somebody go home because that's kind of what you're waiting on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't want it to be one of my favorites to go home.
Yeah.
One of my favorites to go home. Maybe I mean that.
Okay. Well, so, what was it like being there with the survivors, T-Bird?
Oh, it was great. So I got to meet, I already knew, of course, Ron Clark. Who doesn't know Ron from Edge of Extinction? He's
an
amazing guy. Amazing guy. And then, of course, Davey, who I've met a bunch of times, David and Goliath. But two other players from David versus Goliath were there. Carl and Nick. Carl and Nick. What?
Yes.
So I got to meet them. And you know what? It's so funny, Rob. You know, I think of Survivor players as family. And I think of the Survivor fans as family, too, because a lot of these watch parties, you're brought together with a lot of the same people. And there's such a common thread. And I know you know what I'm talking about, because even like with the RHAP listeners, it's such a family. It's such a cool group of people that have this common bond that bring you together. So I got to meet Carl and Nick, who, again, when you see them, it's somebody you've watched on the big screen.
Right.
You feel like you know them.
Iconic season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of my favorite seasons. What a cast. Oh, my gosh. What a cast. You feel like you know them. So I got to actually meet them. And then, of course, Sharia from China, who is an absolute adorable person. Mm-hmm. I got to meet two people that I had never met. Deshaun from Here We Go, S41.
From S41,
Deshaun,
sure.
I'm sorry you don't have a name, but we're going to call you S41.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Oh my gosh, I got to watch, got to meet the TikTok star herself, Lauren.
Yeah.
Lauren from Island
S39.
Of the Idols.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's not call it S39 because that one actually still has a name.
Okay. S Island of the Idols.
Island of the Idols, Lauren. And she is, oh my gosh, she's, she's something else. So I got to watch it with these people and with all the RHAP fans. So it was fantastic. It was great. Lots of energy. And, you know, people are out and about now more than they were last fall. So everybody's out and about, and it's just a great connection with it. And it's, Rob, I know you'll understand it. With so much going on in the world, to have this, you know, couple hours that you come together with people that you have a bond with.
Yeah.
Really a very, very cool, unique, a beautiful thing. I know that.
There's always a lot of love in the room with these viewing parties. You know, being with a bunch of people that like the same thing, who are, you know, some strangers, some familiar faces. It's always a fun time. T-Bird.
So it was great.
So I want to set up something that we tried for this event. And I had asked you about I knew you were going to the event. I said, what if, okay, of course, you do such a great job of bringing all of the survivors in when we do Talking with T-Bird. What if you brought your recorder with you? Could you get some survivors to say hi? Not the guy from S42.
Right. No. You mean bring my recorder with me, a.k.a. my phone.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
And so I got some clips. I haven't listened to them yet. And I thought it might be fun to check out some of your reporting from the scene. Do you want to? Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I forgot. Oh, my gosh. I forgot somebody. And I cannot believe I even forgot this person. I got to meet Elaine from S39, Island of the Idols. Elaine, oh my gosh, she is, okay, I'll just go ahead and put her in this category. Elaine is a Marianne, is an Erica, just the kind of person that lights up the room. She's just sincere, fun, happy. Just, I got to meet Elaine.
Okay.
So she was there. Okay. I can't believe I forgot that. So,
all right, let's see. Let's see if we can hear. What did T-Bird have to say talking to Elaine? Let's play one of these clips.
Hey, Rob, it's T-Bird and Elaine from Island of the Idols.
What's up, Rob?
She's here with us in Atlanta. We're getting ready to watch the episode with all this great cast of people here. All right, Elaine, what do you think about season 42?
Hey, I'm excited to see who wins this thing in the end.
Who are you pulling for?
All of them. I root for all of them. I don't know.
What do you think about Shot in the Dark?
I actually like that because it gives you a second chance. I need all the chances I can get. You know what I mean? I think the cast is great, though, man. I would love to.
Bye, Rob. Love you, bye.
T-Bird, you gotta keep these interviews very snappy.
Well, I know, but I think you told me, you sent me a text and you said, if you can, just get some little short clips.
Yeah, that's good.
So I was trying to keep them short, and I didn't want my battery to go out.
Hey, T-Bird, it's the TikTok generation, okay? People don't have long attention spans.
That's right. Okay, great. So that was Elaine from S39, Island of the Idols, and everybody that watched her on her season and loved her, which I believe is just about everybody.
Everybody.
She is even more adorable in person and real than she was on the show. What you see is what you get. And wow, she's something else.
Okay. All right. Here, let's play another one that you sent. Okay. All right. Let's hear T-Bird checked in with Sharia from Survivor China. Let's see how this went, okay?
I'm here with Sharia from China.
Hey, T-Bird.
And Rob, I want to know from Sharia what she thinks about the Shot in the Dark, if she thinks it would have benefited her game.
I'm willing to take chances, so I think it would have benefited my game either way, because it's all about chances, right? That's what gets you to the end.
So, Sharia, we just pulled either safe or not safe when we walked into the door here. Mm-hmm. Were you safe or not safe?
I was safe, but I guarantee if this happened during my episode, I would not have been safe.
All right, so tonight, Sharia is safe. Okay, bye, Rob.
Okay, so Rob, listen to this. So Ron Clark, yes? When he does something, it's first class all the way.
For sure.
First class. Oh, my gosh. And that reminded me when we were supposed to have the RHAP Know-It-Alls here in Atlanta at Ron Clark Academy. Oh, my gosh. Rob, I hope that we can make that happen.
Ron Clark's
Academy is magical.
Yes.
And he throws a party, and he does it 100%. So listen to this. When you go in the front door to the Academy, of course, he has it there where you register in. He had scrolls, these little scrolls that said safe or not safe for every single person to draw. And they look like scrolls. You know how Survivor, production goes to such an extreme to make everything look really island authentic? He did the same thing. It looked like they had been burned and etched in. I'm thinking, whoa, this is really impressive. So anyway, we all got into safe or not safe, you know, when we registered. So that was how I first saw Sharia going in the door. So that was what that was about. Okay.
T-Bird.
I was just trying to set it up a little bit. Okay.
I see also that you caught up with the winner of Survivor David versus Goliath, Nick Wilson.
Yes.
Yes. Should we play this?
Yes.
Should we play this?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's see. What did Nick Wilson say to T-Bird?
Was he hollering to me?
We're at the watch party, and we've got Nick here from David versus Goliath. So I'm wondering, Nick, do you think the shot in the dark would have helped your chances on your season?
Oh, I didn't need it on my first season, but season 40, maybe I could.
Oh, yes, season 40. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Hey, I would roll the dice. Why not?
You know who you remind me of?
Who?
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, all right.
You talk just like him. Rob, he's adorable. Bye.
I'm Rob. Okay, so Rob, let me set this up. I had never met Nick. Okay, I never met Nick before. Okay, I never had. And everybody wanted to meet Nick. And everybody wanted to get around Nick. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I have to get a clip from Nick because I want to make a funny. I'm going to ask Nick how the shot in the dark would have been to help his chances on winning the game.
Yeah.
Well, of course I knew he won. I did know he won. So I guess he didn't really know me or recognize that was a joke. And then, of course, he followed up with, well, I didn't need it, but I needed it for S40, which there went my joke, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. But as he was saying it, and then I got totally off task with what I was trying to do professionally, and I'm like, he sounds just like Matthew McConaughey. It was just weird. Did you think so?
I never heard that before. I guess I could see it.
Hear it. It sounded just like him.
Yeah.
It's like Daniel sounded like Albert Brooks to me when I was listening to him. It just happened. Okay, that was Nick. He's adorable. What a guy. And the three, Davey and Carl and Nick together, you know, in
those
one
guys,
room.
Those guys are, good buddies.
What a bond. Yeah, good buddies. What a bond. Just David. Watching them was really great. So, yeah.
T-Bird,
I love
these 30-second interviews.
Well, I would have gotten more. Did I get any more? It kind of got crazy.
I got one more. Okay. All right. This one's a long one. Okay.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Okay. This one's 40 seconds. Okay.
Oh.
Here's T-Bird with Lauren Ashley Beck.
Oh, Lauren. It's T-Bird, and I'm here with Lauren from Island of the Idols. She is absolutely stunning. You can't see her, but you can hear her amazing voice. I want to ask her what she thinks about season 42 and what she thinks the shot in the dark.
What's going on, Rob, and all the RHAP listeners? I absolutely adore all of you. You know, I'm loving season 42 so far. I'm thinking it's going to be more along the lines of drop the four, keep the two, instead of drop the four, keep the one. I'm so stoked to see who is going to win this season. You know, I'm rooting for Marianne, Omer. Everybody's great, and I absolutely love it. Love you guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure everybody's familiar with Lauren. She is. I need to take some. I wanted to have a chance to talk with her and Davey about how to become an influencer. But
You're on your way with these 30-second interviews.
Rob, that's a stretch. What? But watching Davey and watching Lauren, I'm thinking, I don't know. They're both so cute and likable. Okay, so you heard what Lauren thought her winner pick Marianne and Omer.
Mm-hmm.
See, you just like them. You just can't help but like them. She picked them too. I'd forgotten that's who she said. Yeah. So I didn't get every single person I wanted to get for you, but I got a lot of them, Rob.
Okay. You did a great job, T-Bird, like always.
Thank you, Rob.
Above and beyond the call of duty.
It was a great night.
Okay. All right. T-Bird. The RJP Out of Context Twitter account asked, can T-Bird align with Mike Turner when they are inevitably on the same tribe in Second Chances 2?
Oh, my gosh. Mike Turner, 58-year-old from Hoboken?
Yeah.
Hoboken?
It's not Hoboken.
Hoboken?
Yeah. Okay.
Retired firefighter?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I like Mike.
Okay.
Yes. That would be a great, I like that.
All right.
I like that alliance.
All right. How about a question from Clayton, who says, which castaway might disappear into obscurity only to be hunted down by T-Bird 5 years later in the future?
Okay.
Who's on your Talking with T-Bird watch?
Okay. So Clayton is at... So Clayton wants to know from the S42 cast, right? From the S42 cast? Is that what he's asking about? Which one of these in 5 years will be kind of fall off?
Who are we talking to on Talking with T-Bird in the year 2026?
Okay. Okay. I'm going to say... Okay, now remember, we're trying to say who's going to drop off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I don't know why, but not
drop off enough that you can't find them.
But where they're not really a lot of social. Okay, I'm going to say Jonathan.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Jonathan's not on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on Facebook. He's I think he might be on Instagram.
Okay.
But he seems like he's not really, I'm going to say Jonathan
not
might
out there.
Be, might, yeah. Jonathan might be a little bit harder one for me to find in 5 years that I would want
okay.
to find, that I would want to find. Oh, I'd
You'll
like to find
down.
All of them. Yeah, I'll track down. Plus he's in Alabama in Gulf Shore. So, you know, if he's running his beach service, I'm all about a good, you know, run on the beach.
Where that is?
I might can locate him. Gulf Shores? Yeah, it's on the way. If you're going on the way to Biloxi.
Okay.
You can taper off and go over to Gulf Shores.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say Jonathan.
Okay. I got a question from PG Law who says, can you have her tell me happy birthday?
Oh, my PG, have I missed your birthday? Happy
Uh-oh.
Birthday, PG. Oh, my gosh. PG, happy birthday. PG was my Second Chances alliance.
Well
it didn't work
it's
out.
It's her birthday today, April 7th, T-Bird.
PG, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
yeah.
to you. Happy birthday, dear PG. Big finish, Rob. Big finish. Let's do this.
Happy birthday to you. Yes.
Yes. What do you mean she might not be listening? She asked us to send her a birthday message.
I mean, she asked on Twitter.
Oh. Okay. Well.
Maybe somebody could tell her to listen to this part of the podcast.
She's going to have to. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. PG's my alliance that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah. One of your many pregame alliances.
Well, now, Rob, well, I don't know about that, but I know we talked about that before. But anyway, happy birthday. Happy birthday, PG.
happy birthday, PG. Okay. Let's see. How about so many people sent in responses. Okay, I asked people about what do you want to let T-Bird know? People want to when is season 3 of Talking with T-Bird coming back?
Okay, so Rob,
did we run out of people to talk to?
No, but Rob, remember we talked about this, and you're the boss. You're the boss.
Yeah.
So I thought we decided that the Talking with T-Bird is kind of a summer podcast.
Oh, wait, I said that?
Well, we do it after the seasons because, you know, the one in the fall and then the one in the spring, the seasons run together. And then we're on hiatus for the summer. So it's kind of like when Survivor Season 1 Borneo was just a summer
S1,
special. Yeah. S1 was a summer deal. Talking with T-Bird's a summer deal. So we'll start up, I think, after S42 is complete. Is that right?
I mean, sure. It's basically in the summer, or if there's a pandemic.
Oh yeah, the pandemic. I'm not hoping for another one of those. So
no, we're good.
Forget that. We've had enough of that. We don't need that.
So all right. How should people let you know?
Now this is
who
what
to
I need to figure
contact.
Out, Rob. Are we still? You know, season one and two, we really focused on.
T-Bird, so is there a way that people could still let you know who they want you to track down?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to tell you. I had somebody approach me from a later.
Later days?
Later days, like recently. And a matter of fact, this is how recent. They don't even have a name. Their season doesn't even have a name.
Oh, well, it was for somebody from S41?
Okay.
They want to be on Talking with T-Bird?
Yes. And I started thinking, wow, there's a lot of great people. I wonder what Rob thinks about and the listeners about us doing, you know, new school as well.
Hmm.
So what do you think?
Boy, I mean, if it's somebody that I can't get to do an interview with me, I think I'd be up for it.
Oh, God, that's so funny. Well, yeah. Well, a couple of people and I'm like, yeah, Rob is going to get them way before I'll touch them. So. Yeah, I gotta look at that too.
All right, well, you and I can talk offline, but if it's...
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But yeah, so hopefully season three, Talking with T-Bird, will start up after S42 is complete.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a couple of names that maybe I can give you off the top of my head. We'll talk about this.
Okay, yes, good.
Okay, all right. T-Bird, then let me bring in another question for you. And how about from Grace Mullen wants to know, of course, that, you know, there's so much grace in the game of soccer. We have to get a question from Grace. T-Bird, if you were Drea, how would you navigate all the advantages you have? Is it best to tell anyone on the other tribes about them? Should she hold on to them? Or should she try to get rid of them as soon as possible to lower her threat level?
Well... Oh, that's Grace. Okay, so Grace, we already know Drea told Tori and Swati about one of her advantages. I'm always about keeping their idols and their amulets and their beware advantage and their extra vote and all that to themselves. I just think, and especially with Drea, you know, is being as strong as she is, I think she's going to be a target. And again, she's a great social player. Easily to be a target once the tribes merge. So no, Grace, I'm not a fan of her letting anybody know that. You know, even like when Mike was telling Daniel during the first episode or two, I thought they were pretty close. And then when Daniel comes back and says, we got to get him out. I mean, I didn't expect that. Just like I really didn't expect Swati and Tori to say the same thing about Drea when she mentioned about let's have a girls' alliance. I've got an idol. So I say you become a threat when you've got advantages like that. Keep it to yourself. 100%. Rob, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is with these seasons, S41 and S42, they make it so it's almost impossible to keep these advantages to yourself. It's almost like that, almost every single one of them, the advantage amulet people know about, that, I mean, the only one that she could have found out about herself was, you know, she found with Romeo, and then it involved saying secret phrases to other people, and then on Shipwheel Island. So good luck trying to keep any of these advantages out in the open. I almost feel like that maybe it's better to sort of like have it be like like a public thing where it's like, hey, it's not a secret. Xander's Idol last season, like everybody knew about it. And then it kind of like was less of a big deal because everybody knew about it.
Yeah, I don't know, but she's got three.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a lot.
She's got a lot. Yeah.
She's got a lot. And again, and she's a strong player. And she's got a cute little Drea dance going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, Survivor Rich. They better watch out for her.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
Of course, she's my winner pick, so.
Okay.
Grace, I expect you to see her in for the long haul.
Okay. Got a question for you from Hartley. Hartley wants to know, if you're Rox, Roy, or Lydia, what's the best way to answer the question about the tribe dynamics? How do you answer questions to potentially gain an ally without giving away too much information? Now, we saw where Rox, Roy, and Lydia went to Shipwheel Island. Lydia said, so who are you tight with? Rox, Roy said, who's tight?
All right. Who asked that question, Rob?
That was Hartley.
Hartley. What? I love your name, Hartley.
Yeah, Hartley.
Okay. Hartley. Oh, I don't know. I was impressed with both of them for not saying, you know, because remember when Jonathan was saying, you know, that his tribe got along so great, and then Omer and Marianne were mm-hmm. like, oh man, Jonathan, don't
like,
do that.
He's a big dummy.
You know what I'm, well, they didn't like him saying that. So, you know, I think the idea, I mean, if you say anything like you're either really close or you're not really close, then that gives the other person, you know, a lot of information actually when a merge is getting ready to happen. So, you know, people love usually to share as much as they can so they can feel like they're in with the other person. So that Lydia and that Rox, Roy didn't say anything, I really liked it, and I was really actually surprised. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, and you may know the answer to this, Rob, but Hartley, I don't think Rox, Roy, and I could be wrong, stay-at-home dad Rox, Roy, and Lydia, which is, she's 22, I don't know if they're super fans.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, do you know what they are, or are they more the, like, what are we talking about, like,
yeah, moms? I think that they probably are both in the camp of, like, if you asked, like, one of their friends or relatives, they'd say, oh my god, they're obsessed with the show, but they're probably not, like, Daniel obsessed with the show.
Right, okay. So, that they actually pretty much just said the same thing, I loved it. I think it's a good... It's good gameplay. It's mm-hmm. real. Now, I know for the viewers and the fans watching, not quite as exciting, because I think everybody loves to see when people are just spilling it out there, and then you get the confessionals of, you know, like Swati and Tori saying, hey, Drea's got this and that. We need to get her out. I mean, that's kind of fun for us to watch. It's not quite as fun when you're watching it when they're both saying, oh, you know,
yeah,
everything's just whatever, you know. It's not as fun, but it's. I think it's really smart. So they were both being kind of, didn't Lydia say that Rox, Roy was being kind of cagey?
Yes, they both weren't giving anything away.
There, yeah. So I think it's great. I liked it. As a player, I liked it.
Okay.
As a fan, not quite as exciting.
So we're going into this scenario 4-4-4. Do you want the other tribes to think you're four? Yeah, and this is like speaks to what Rox, Roy, and Lydia were dealing with. Do you want the other tribes to think that your tribe is tight, or do you want them to think that your tribe is not tight?
Okay. Probably, I think the best thing for the tribe is when they think you're really tight. Because if you think somebody's really tight, you're probably not gonna know who to go up to and say, hey, you know, we're going to go after, you're probably going to, let me think about that, Rob. Let me think about that.
I mean, so you have some experience in a 4-4, not a 4-4-4, but that you had a group of four.
Right.
And there was the mall rats group of four. What would it be better to, you know, signal like our four is indestructible, or that there are some cracks in our four?
Cracks are better. Cracks are better to try to bust through because, for example...
But do you want to signal there? You don't want to actually have cracks, but do you want the other side to think that maybe there are cracks?
Yeah, I think you're going to get more information, Rob, mm-hmm. if the other people think there are cracks. They're okay. going to come, you're going to get people coming to you, propositioning you for different things if they think there are cracks. Just trying to test the waters and see kind of what they can do, So yes, I think let them think there are cracks or probably you'll get more information. Because
mm-hmm.
people... I think you'll get more information. What do you think?
Yeah, because they're going to try and come to you potentially with a plan, maybe, if they think that there's like some openings, maybe. And then maybe you can get some information about where they're going to put their votes.
Right. So if the next, say, so we got 444 and somebody's they're coming to you thinking, well, now they're going to know that Jonathan, Marianne, Omer, and mm-hmm. Lindsay are close. But if they didn't know that, then the tribe could act like, they're tired of Marianne or they're tired of the Jonathan strength or whatever it is they want to decide. And they're going to get more information and they can see who's trying to divide them. As opposed to if you're a strong tribe, you might get somebody trying to come in. And this is kind of important, too. If you're a strong four, then you're going to have some other people from the other four, somebody like Tori who needs a safe place to land. So Tori may say, hey, look, I know I'm new to your group, but, I'm not tight with my group, even though I know I'm going to be on the bottom of your group. Mm-hmm. So I think it could work either way. I think it could be good either way to either find out who is wanting a soft place to land, like Tori's going to be looking for a place to go, so I think it could work either way.
Okay.
It's just going to depend on how they divide the 444.
Okay. T-Bird, Krista B. wants to know, if there's one thing you could change on this season so far, what would it be?
Okay. Krista B. Hey, Krista. All right. So, Krista... All right, I keep hoping that something fun's going to happen with this shot in the dark, but it hadn't.
Not yet.
So I'm disappointed. Not yet. And maybe it's almost like I think 1 in 6 seems like such a long shot. I think I'd like to see the shot in the dark switched up a little. I'm not exactly sure how, but I do like it. I do like the shot in the dark. I don't like the odds of it being maybe 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably say, Krista B, I think I'd say have something different going on with that shot in the dark.
What would you do? Lower the odds?
Maybe if the odds are lowered, or I think I heard you talk to somebody about this, Rob.
Yeah.
So I'm stealing your idea, but I liked it. So you know I am been listening to you. I like the idea of every time it's used.
Yeah.
Allie, I think you and Allie were talking about this.
T-Bird.
Right?
Yeah.
Allie Lasher?
Of course.
What a doll.
Yeah.
I love her voice. Her voice is so cute. I love it. And her laugh, she's so cute. So you and Allie were talking about...
Great podcast guest.
Yeah, she's adorable. Y'all were talking about every time it's used, lowering the odds.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a great idea. And I think even Allie said, or one of y'all said it, that the other people, or the other tribes are not going to know who's used it before to know if you're still at 1 in 4.
But we'll know.
1 in 3 or 1 in 2.
Yeah.
So... I think it's great. I think I like that. I think that was a great idea that y'all had. And then when you start out, and I still think 1 in 6 kind of high. Because, you're losing your vote anyway. And at tribal council, a lot, there's so many blindsides anyway. And just the fact that Daniel did not use his shot in the dark. I mean, you're going to have still a lot of people that use it or a lot of people that don't. And the ones that really think they need it. I mean, I think it's going to be fun. I hope it actually works out for somebody this season that they play it and they get it. I don't know how you feel about it, Rob or Krista B, but I feel like nobody's going to get it. I mean, it's just, it's such a long shot.
I don't think so. Not an S-42.
Not S-42. So I'm hoping, I like it. I actually do like it. I just think it needs to be tweaked a little bit. That's a great question, Christy.
T-Bird, are you ready for a John John question?
Jonathan 29 that looks like he's 35?
No, not that Jonathan. Okay, John John Johnston wants to know, T-Bird, you put a vote on Lex, and Chanel put a vote on Mike. Will this cause Mike to start flipping out like Lex did?
No. Mike, no, I think Mike's a lot more easygoing. And, of course, Lex was he knew the game.
Yeah.
Lex knew the game. Where I think Mike's a lot more laid back. And then I was interested last night with that vote that Chanel did. Isn't it possible that this vote that Chanel put on Mike will never find out? Because Chanel seems to keep things
okay,
you know,
do you think,
quiet.
Can Chanel pull a T-Bird and get away with this vote on Mike and not say anything?
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking, unless I've missed something. I don't think Chanel's going to tell Mike that she did the vote. I wouldn't imagine. Can't everybody just act like Daniel voted for Mike? Chanel say?
T-Bird.
Can't Chanel just say, because Chanel and Daniel were in an alliance.
Well,
can't
hold on. Chanel, I'm just trying to logic that out. Okay, so if Daniel, okay, so if Hi and Lydia say, okay, we voted for Daniel. Now Mike said, oh, I didn't vote for you. Could it be okay? Does Daniel have to have had voted for himself at some point for that to make sense? So if she, well, then it's like, okay, well, Chanel, who did you vote for? It's like, well, I voted for Daniel. If Hi and Lydia said, no, we voted for Daniel. And then like, if Chanel's like, well, one of you guys are lying because I voted for Daniel.
Right. Chanel's that smart.
But Hi and Lydia are gonna be like, listen, that she's a huge liar. Like, I'm telling you, we didn't vote for, yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
Like,
so
she's basically
Daniel,
gonna have to then call Hi and Lydia liars.
Couldn't Chanel say, well, I voted for Daniel. Daniel must have voted for Mike.
But if Hi and Lydia are saying, no, we voted for Daniel. Like, she's going to be calling those two liars.
All right. Hold on a minute. So maybe I'm not, obviously, it's like the 1 and 6 math is a little confusing. This 1 and 4 math is even more confusing. So are you telling me, okay, so Hi and Lydia voted for Daniel.
I'm sorry. So Hi and Lydia voted for Daniel.
Right.
Daniel voted for Chanel, and Chanel voted for Mike.
Mike and Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
John Johnston, give me a minute to get this figured out.
Okay.
Okay. So Mike and Daniel
voted for Chanel. Yes.
Okay. For Chanel. Oh, okay. So Chanel. So I think Chanel is smooth enough.
Yeah.
I think Chanel is smooth enough, just like she handled tribal council, by her calm making her case.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's smooth enough to work this out.
Okay.
So, but Mike, didn't Mike get a vote? Mike's gotten votes before. Didn't he get a vote before?
And did he get a vote before? I don't know if he did. Right? It was Lydia. 2 votes for Lydia and 2 votes for Jenny.
All right. Who voted Lydia? Somebody voted for Lydia last week. Oh, that was Daniel.
Daniel did. Daniel and Jenny.
That was Daniel.
Yes.
Okay. Because I was just remembering about Daniel.
Why don't we talk about that? Yeah. Do you think that Mike, if he finds out that Chanel voted for him, do you think that he'll get upset?
No. I mean, he might not like it at first, but I think Chanel can definitely smooth it out. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think she can smooth it over by saying, well, Mike, I mean, this is however she decides to turn it and twist it and turn it. Because I think she's really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Daniel. I mean, Daniel was pretty smooth too when he was, you know, he had voted for Lydia, right?
Yeah.
He had voted for Lydia. And you see, I mean, he apologized that he voted for her, calling her the queen maker and all that. I think Chanel could definitely smooth it over with Mike because he's not as Lex was just fixated. And mm-hmm. Lex was the alpha. He was running the tribe. He was running the
group. He's more low key than
and
Lex.
Mike
yeah,
seems,
Mike is.
Yeah. I think Mike's just happy to be there. And I think Chanel could say, Mike, you know, this is what happened. We were splitting the votes and we thought he was going to do. I mean, I think she could. I don't think that's going to be a big thing.
Okay. I have a question from Lyndon for you, T-Bird. Lyndon wants to know, can you please rank the following popcorn brands from best to worst? I don't know if we need to do all that. And ranking can be arbitrary and reductive. But what's your favorite? Pop Secret, Orville Redenbacher, Act Two, Skinny Pop, Jiffy Pop, Smart Food, Boom Chicka Pop.
I like it just the air popped. Whatever the air popped is.
Just air popped.
That's the one I like.
Do you have a certain kernel that you buy?
No, air popped.
Yeah, but do you have a certain brand of the popcorn kernel that you buy?
Oh, no.
Whatever.
I'm not sure. Whatever it is. Yeah.
Whatever you have.
Yeah.
That's
whatever.
Fine.
Whatever I have. Yeah.
Okay.
That's Lyndon. That's a question. Lyndon. That's almost like one of these phrases that you get from the Beware Advantage that you would say.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost one of those.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That
what,
caught me
what
off
is
guard.
Rank the following popcorn brands?
Well, no, when you started naming the popcorns, you took me into another place, kind of like the Beware Advantage quotes.
Yeah. Okay. T-Bird, the great Chappelle, who also had a birthday this week, like PG, wants to know, ask her if she got the popcorn. Did Chappelle send you popcorn?
Chappelle sent me popcorn. What a doll, baby. Yes, he did.
Yes.
It was fan, and it was a flavor.
What flavor?
Oh, God, there was like four different kinds.
Yeah.
It was like cheesy, buttery something. And
yeah.
Carol, I mean, just, yeah. Chappelle,
I like that one. Yeah.
I love you. You're adorable. Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
T-Bird, I saw that I got a tweet from Allison on Twitter who said, chatting with her at the Survivor event is the highlight of any season.
Rob, and that's what I'm talking about right there. When you get to meet the people that are such fans of the show and you have that common bond, it's fantastic. It's mm-hmm. great. Allison, it was wonderful meeting you as well.
Yeah.
It was great. It was a great, wonderful night.
Okay. Addison says, tell T-Bird she's an icon, she's a legend, and she is the moment.
Wait a minute. Is that a different person?
Addison?
Wait a minute. I thought you said Allison.
No, they are different people. There's an Allison and there's also an Addison.
Okay, well, I just wanted you to know, I was listening and then the name sounded the same.
Yes.
So, Addison, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Rob, I want to say this is so cheesy. I know
what's
it is.
That?
I have to say it. I think about it often. I'm sure you think about
what's
your Survivor days too. So, okay. So I got to play in S3 Africa that I'm very proud of. I did not make second chances. And I think about it as time goes. And then I think, wow, second chances was my second chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was my second chance. And it's like, I got voted out early, but to be part of that and to still
it's
be
relatable.
In the running after so many years is relatable, but now to still be part of this Survivor family with RHAP and having the opportunity to do mm-hmm. Talking with T-Bird, it has worked out and it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. So thank you for letting me be part of this 21 years later.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you so much.
I remember that we used to message a little bit before Survivor Second Chances, and I wanted you to come on the podcast. And I think that you were a little apprehensive. And it wasn't until that you were on the ballot for Second Chances that we finally got on and did a podcast together.
Yep. Yep.
That got the ball rolling. Yeah. And look at us now. How many years ago was that? I think it was 20. Was that 2015? I think it was 2015.
I was going to say 6 years ago, but maybe 7 years now. What? Yeah. How can that be?
Yep. So that's how it started and how it's going. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Now hold on. The Survivor Out of Context account also, tweeted out a picture of you that reminds me of when you played rock, paper, scissors. And
oh, yeah.
Yes. Paper covers rock was your infamous play against Clarence. And now there's a guy named Rox Roy on this season of Survivor.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
And
okay.
You know what? Rox
and,
Roy.
And you did not make him as your winner pick.
No, I didn't. And you know what? Rox Roy is about the same age that I was when I played.
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors. Rox Roy is 44.
Yes. And he's talked about how it's hard for him to fit in, but it wasn't hard for you.
What, you mean hard for him to fit in the game?
Yeah. Socially. He said he has a lot to work on.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I remember him saying that was cute. He needed some. That's right. And Tori's all mad at him because I think he's not sure. Well, hey, he's a stay-at-home dad. He's used to being around the kids all day. He hadn't had a lot of adult interaction.
Yeah.
I think we can understand that. But yeah, I think Tori's – and wasn't Tori frustrated with him because all he does is want to talk about the shelter.
Yes.
Built making fire. I mean, that's not a bad thing.
Right. Right. Back in S3, those were qualities you liked in having a person on your tribe.
Yeah, that was a huge thing. If the mall rats would have had a little bit of building shelter, building fire work ethic in them, it'd have been great. So
yeah.
Tori, don't fault him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a social player. What did he say? He's obviously he's not picking up on the social cues, I think he said. Well, I think with Rox Roy, again, did I already say this about Rox Roy? I think he falls in the same category with Daniel and Lydia, where, you know, I think he's not a huge super, super fan.
Yeah.
He's out there and I don't think you really can know what to expect, even if you are a super fan, from what you're put out there and all that. That's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. T-Bird, anything else about Survivor that you want to talk about?
Well, I'm a little disappointed in how I answered Joy's question.
Why?
Because it was not where I wanted to go, and I played off a part of what you said, so I came up with another one.
A new phrase. So, okay. Yes.
A new phrase. I came up with another phrase that's more of what I want to say. So Joy, this is the phrase that I'm going to be
this,
using.
How about this, T-Bird? How about this? Okay. That I will try that. I will record a podcast this week and I will have to say your phrase in the podcast and the listeners will know which podcast. Yes. Do you want to pick which podcast I say it in?
Your most popular one.
That's already this one. Okay, how about this? Okay, so I will have to say this phrase to Stephen Fishback next week. And there's no way he'll ever listen to 2 hours into this recap.
Okay.
And I have to get it past Stephen Fishback without him knowing. And what do I get? Okay, what do I get if I can do it?
Well, wait.
Do I get an advantage?
Okay. Yeah, you get an amulet.
Okay, an amulet. Okay. All right, I have to activate
whatever.
It.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'll have to decide.
Activate season 3 of Talking with T-Bird if I can do it.
Okay, perfect. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think you should do Shannon? Because aren't you going to do a podcast with Shannon?
Yeah, but Shannon is likely to listen to this before she does the podcast. That Shannon is, it has incredible preparation skills.
Oh, okay. Because I know y'all are going to have a great podcast. But yeah,
there's like an 85% chance she listens to this podcast before I talk to her. And that might be underselling it. Yeah.
Okay, so
it is a 0% chance Stephen will ever listen to this.
Okay, then we'll do it with Stephen, but Shannon would be great, but I don't want her to have heard it. I know y'all are going to do a fantastic podcast, so shout out to Shannon. Okay. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
So Joy, this is for you. Okay. Grass grows so fast in the spring, it reminds me of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly.
Okay. Now...
Is that good? I like it.
That's pretty good. Now, it does reference a few of the S41 themes in Butterfly and also AstroTurf, which is fake grass.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Well, I like that because I like the smell of grass and then butterflies are happy. And okay. All right. Well, now I got to change it up.
Well, you want to keep it or you want to change it?
Well, okay. Should I change it?
Do you have another option?
Well, yeah, I'll just have to think of something.
Is that a secret phrase?
Okay. God, you got a good point. And you know, I did not even think about that. I just was sitting here and it's springtime here in Georgia and I have the grass and the spring and then I love, but okay, you're right. Okay. Okay. So let's try another one.
Okay.
All right. Do you need to take a break or anything? Okay.
Well, why don't we come back to this? Well, let's come back to this. So T-Bird, I wanted to ask you, are you watching anything interesting on TV?
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Let me think. I'm watching.
Can we talk about what you were texting me a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah. What was it?
That a show that you did, that you started watching that Glenn got you into?
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yes. Okay. So, So I heard you recently got into Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh my gosh. Yes. 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 I had never watched any of these shows, Curb Your Enthusiasm, before.
Yes.
And they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're really, really, really funny. And so you remember when we did our Talking with T-Bird with Shane Powers?
Yes.
And remember I asked you and Shane if y'all could interview anybody, who would you want to interview?
Yes.
And didn't Shane say, my mind's just Obama, President Obama?
That sounds about right, yeah.
I thought he said President Obama. Mm-hmm. And you, and I remembered it. And as a matter of fact, I think I even reminded you because I don't know that you remembered who you told me. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who you told me?
I think I said Larry David.
You said Larry David. Because I remember thinking and asking Glenn, I thought, would that be the greatest thing ever if I could get Larry David on Talking with T-Bird?
Oh, could you imagine?
And of course, Glenn, who's familiar with Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, which I had never watched, was like, yeah. Okay, whatever. So
Glenn didn't think it would happen. He doubted you.
He maybe did a little bit because he's seen there's a couple of people I've reached out to try to get that it's such a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think.
Should we add maybe some celebrities to the Talking with T-Bird list?
Yes.
Like Denise
Austin.
Absolutely.
Yes. Denise Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Larry David.
And Larry David. Yeah.
So I started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I guess Larry, you see I'm calling him by his first name now.
Yeah.
I guess he writes all this stuff.
Yeah.
That he's brilliant. I mean, mm-hmm. how he comes up with all this and brings it full circle from the start to the end, it's fantastic.
It's pretty incredible.
It's great. The cast is fantastic. Where he goes and how he pulls it and pulls off all this. I love it. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought too, Rob, and this is going to sound, I thought, wow, what would that be something else if I could get Larry David for Rob on the podcast? Would that
yes.
be like the most unbelievable thing in the world?
It'd be so a huge anyway, Talking with T-Bird.
That I might be maybe like teacher's pet.
Yeah. Did you watch the one that features a Survivor player?
Well, no. Who?
Ask Glenn to show you that one.
Wait a minute, because we've got them on tape. We've got them when they show up.
It's an old one.
Okay,
yeah.
So right away when I think an older one.
It's an old school Survivor.
Right. So yes. You know who I think of? The first person that comes to me. You want to play hot or cold?
Okay, sure.
Okay. The first person that comes to me is... Yes, we're playing hot or cold.
Well, so you're not even guessing the person. I'm guessing the person you're thinking of?
Yeah.
If anything, I should be the one hot or colding you right now.
Oh, yeah, but you don't know who I'm thinking of.
Okay, fine. Richard Hatch.
Nope. You're very hot. You're hot. You're warm because it's the same season.
Okay, Rudy.
Nope. You're hot. You're warm because it's the same season.
All right, Colleen Haskell.
Nope. That's three down.
Am I getting hotter or colder?
Well, now I'm going to have to say you're warm because it's the same season, but you're getting colder because you're going off in the direction.
Okay. Dr. Sean.
No, that's four.
Okay. Am I hotter or colder?
Well, I guess you're warmer than Colleen.
Okay. Jervis.
Yes.
Okay.
Jervis
is an actor. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Well, that's what would make sense if he was on Larry David. If he was on Curb Your Enthusiasm, I thought maybe like an actor.
Okay, so I got it, but it's not Jervis.
Okay, now I get to guess. You want to play hot or cold again?
Okay, fine.
Okay, now you know who it is.
I know who it really is. Yeah.
Okay, you know. Okay, you know who it really is.
Yes.
Okay, so. I'm going to say an older season. God, S1 and S2 were so popular. Are they from S1? No, are they from S2?
Well, I thought we're playing hotter or colder.
We are. You're going to say hot or cold?
Hot.
I thought so. Okay. Okay. Is it a male?
Hot.
Oh, sweet. Okay. I got to figure out who was on S2 now. Because it's been, you know, even though one of my favorite seasons. Oh, I got this. Are they the Jonathan of the season?
I guess hot.
Okay, I got this. Colby!
So you're on fire. You're on fire. Okay?
Was it Colby?
Yes,
was it Colby?
Colby. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Moore is telling me to check out S4 E9.
Season 4, episode 9. No. I have not seen it.
Okay, ask Glenn to show you that one. I would like to know your response. But
season 4 episode 9.
Can I ask you if you could just talk about the person that you saw on Curb Your Enthusiasm that reminded you of me?
Okay, so I will think of, even though Rob and I have not worked closely together, because we haven't been doing our podcast.
As close together as people work, many people work virtually.
But whenever I'm thinking of you or something comes to mind, I will shoot off a text in a minute.
Yes.
So Rob has always reminded me, I guess I'm talking to the listeners right now. Rob has always reminded me of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Romano. Rob reminds me of Ray Romano. And then, because now I'm into Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David, I'm coming after you, cutie pie. Now, there was a show that I watched, and I told Glenn, do you know who he reminds me of? Okay, so I forgot his name. I wasn't familiar with him, except when I say, there was one word that I'm trying to think of right now. Wait, give me a minute.
Okay.
I'm still trying to come up with my phrase in the back of my mind here. So I've got a lot of things going on here.
I've got
a lot of processing going on here.
Yes.
At least I got my season 42 winner picked out. Did I already mention that?
Yes.
I got the winner picked out. So I have to be even thinking about that right now. Okay, so it's the guy from the real popular show on Broadway.
Yes, do you want me to say it? Or you want to? Hot or colder?
All right, just do hot or cold.
Okay, all right.
Okay, who's doing it?
Well, I know what it is, so I don't know how you would hot or cold me.
Okay, just tell them the name of the Broadway.
Hamilton.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Okay. So I was watching Curb Your Enthusiasm from, I think it was like from 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And the guy, the very, very smart guy that wrote, I believe he wrote Hamilton.
Yes.
Was on there.
Now, yes.
I didn't know who he was. I just knew he reminded me of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I Googled him.
Yeah.
And this is before when they started talking about Hamilton, during Curb Your Enthusiasm, getting tickets for Hamilton. And I thought, who is that? Is he an act? Well, who is he? And I Googled him. And this guy, who I guess is, I think he's in his 40s or in his upper 30s. He's young. Mm-hmm. He's probably about your age, Rob. He's probably about your age. He wrote Hamilton. So
we've both accomplished a lot, myself and this man.
Absolutely. Okay, say the name so we've got a name to go, because maybe we should add him on our Talking with T-Bird list.
Oh, if you could get him, it would be huge. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Lin-Manuel?
Miranda.
All right, now, yes, he reminds me of Rob. What an amazing guy this man is. Mm-hmm. What an amazing guy he is, too. He accomplished all this.
I'm sure many people have thought the same thing, T-Bird.
Yeah, well, how old is he? Because I Googled him, and now I forgot.
He's 42.
All right, he's 42, which meant, because I was telling Glenn once I Googled it, that means Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote Hamilton when he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
I don't even know, and I'm sure he's done a bunch of
just
other
like
stuff,
just like when
too.
I started Rob Has a Podcast.
Just like when Rob started, when Rob Has a Podcast. And guess what,
Equally Rob? As celebrated.
Well, I know you're making light of that, but I'm telling you right now. I know you are, but I'm telling you right now. What you have built and what you have done with your RHAP in the community and the people, I mean, what you built is amazing.
Yes.
Do not short yourself on that.
That T-Bird, he won multiple Tonys. I have witnessed Tony win multiple times, okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I mean, well, I think you've won awards for RHAP.
Yeah, I've won awards. So can I, T-Bird,
yes,
can
sure
I?
Whoa, slow down, Lightning.
Yes.
Slow down, Lightning.
Yes.
You've won awards.
Yes.
You have podcasting won awards in podcasting.
Sure.
So don't even short yourself right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say, do you think there's a possibility?
We both got married in 2010. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then actually, I think his wife was on this show as well, Curb Your Enthusiasm. So she's kind of like the first lady of podcasting. She's part of it too.
Yes.
She likes to be in with it too, just like Nicole.
Yes. Okay. And also have two children. Okay. Practically the same person. Can I tell you, I told Nicole this night, when I was getting ready for bed and we were texting and you were telling me about how you had watched Curb Your Enthusiasm and how Lin-Manuel Miranda reminded you of me. I told this to my wife, the first lady of podcasting. And do you know what she said?
Nicole's hilarious. So the first, I want to say she said, oh, baby, yes, I can see that. But I'm not going to go that way because Nicole's hilarious.
T-Bird,
turn the light off. She said, okay, let me guess what she said first.
Yeah.
Did you want to guess? She said, Rob, turn the light off and go to bed. I got to get up early in the morning.
you're pretty warm, she said. You're no Lin-Manuel Miranda. I said, I know. But I appreciate it, T-Bird. It was a wonderful compliment.
Oh, I wasn't kidding, because you know, I think you know from the little clips we did, there are people when I hear a voice, like the Lindsay reference to Denise Austin, or you to Ray Romano, or Nick to Matthew McConaughey. When I see people, they remind me, their voice or their looks remind me. And it just, comes to me like that. So when I was watching it, before I knew, I just figured he was just, I probably shouldn't say this in case he happens to be listening to this podcast. What are the chances? I just thought he was just a funny actor, like they have so many people doing cameos. Mm-hmm. And I thought, but that reminds me of Rob. So when I Googled him and saw what he had done at such a young age, I'm like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. So
super impressive guy. We both sell out shows in New York all the time, T-Bird.
Well, that's so funny because yes, you do. Because I did hear you say that your know-it-alls was sold out in New York in a month from now. It is sold out in a day and a half.
I mean, it was technically an hour and a half, but yes. Sold out very quickly. Yes.
An hour and a half? That's...
Yeah.
Okay. That's like Hamilton. That's how quick Hamilton sells. There's a lot of things.
It might be easier to get Hamilton tickets these days.
All right. So, Rob, do you think it would be harder to get Larry David or Lin-Manuel Miranda? Which one do you think would be the long shot, other than both of them?
I would say, and maybe this should be a poll on Twitter, would it be harder to get Lin-Manuel Miranda or Larry David on the podcast? I think it would be harder to get Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Really?
Yes.
You know what?
I think Larry David has more free time. I could see Larry David as what is this? Fine, call me. Lin-Manuel Miranda, I think his people would say, what are you doing? Somebody would tell Lin-Manuel Miranda, like, don't do this before they told Larry David to not do this.
I think Lin-Manuel Miranda would do it before Larry David.
Okay. All right.
Because I don't know why. I'm going to take that bet.
Let's take that bet. What does the winner get?
I guess an amulet.
Okay. Let's make a bet for, $20?
Oh, we're going from the amulet to $20.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? Okay.
If you get Larry David on the podcast first, I win. You pay me $20. And then if you get Lin-Manuel Miranda on Talking with T-Bird first, I'll pay you $20.
If I get Larry David... Wait, who am I getting now? I forgot. Am I getting Lin-Manuel?
You said it'd be easier to get Lin-Manuel Miranda. And then if you get Lin-Manuel Miranda on Talking with T-Bird, I will pay you $20.
And then if I get Larry Dave, am I trying to get them both?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that you said it, one would be so much easier.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right, got it.
It's a good bet. It's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think it's a good bet. I wish we were doing more than... doing something like other than $20.
What do you want to, how much money?
I mean, I wish we were doing, not money.
What do you want to do?
Something that would mean something.
Like what? What should the stakes be?
Our favorite flavored popcorn.
Okay, fine. If you get. Yeah. I've got the hookup with Chappelle. Okay. We can get as much popcorn as you want. Okay. If you can get Lin-Manuel Miranda on Talking with T-Bird, I'll get you whatever popcorn you want from Chappelle. And then if you get Larry David on the podcast first, then you have to get me whatever flavor popcorn I want.
Okay.
And it's going to be kettle corn. That's what I like.
You like kettle corn?
I think that's the best of those. I don't really like cheddar. Butter, you know, too much, you feel sick.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
We might have a little time to work out the flavor that you want.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Okay.
I'm thinking. Okay.
All right. Well, T-Bird, what a fun time we had today.
No, Rob. Okay, Rob, I think we've only got one more piece of business to
up
with. I got to come up with my phrase.
Oh, you still do the phrase? Okay. You want me to, do you have it yet? Or do you want me to tell the listeners?
I'm just going to come up with something, you know.
Okay, how about this? Let me tell the listeners about what's coming up on Rob's podcast, and then we'll come back to you, okay?
Yeah, that'll be great.
Give you some time to think. Okay?
Great, okay.
And then T-Bird's got to start working the phones and work on Lin-Manuel Miranda and Larry David and see who she can get on Talking with T-Bird
first.
We'll talk about... I mean, imagine the intro for Lin-Manuel Miranda or Larry David. It would be incredible.
Oh, it would be. It, would be.
Our guest today started off working on Broadway. A graduate of Wesleyan University. It would be incredible.
Yeah, it would
be. All right. Wow. So, all right, it's coming up. Shannon Gus will be on the podcast. We will get into all your feedback questions, okay? You can send them in, robiswebsite.com/S42questions, or leave us voicemail. Shannon will love to hear them, as will I, robiswebsite.com/voicemail, okay? I've got a bonus podcast coming up this weekend with a great YouTuber. Her name is Sierra Schulte. She has an incredible YouTube channel, over 1 million YouTube subscribers. She talks about fashion and body positivity, does a really great job, posts behind-the-scenes videos. She's a podcaster as well. She is a super talented person, big Survivor fan, has listened to RHAP for years, got the chance to catch up with her. We'll bring you that podcast later on this weekend as well. Of course, then for the patrons of Rob's podcast, we'll get into the Survivor Academy, where I will be talking to Asia Welch. Of course, she has a lot going on this weekend. In addition to Married at First Sight, she'll be covering a brand new show called The Ultimatum on Netflix with Mary Kwiatkowski. We will be talking about lessons learned from episode number 5 of Survivor 42, plus not to mention all the other great RHAP Survivor content you get when you subscribe at robinswebsite.com/subscribe, where you can get access to our Survivor podcast feed as well, where you hear the B&B, Why Blank Lost, and Survivor Stock Watch and the Survivor News with Bryson Wendell. Okay. Not to mention everything else going on at robinswebsite.com. Okay. T-Bird.
Yes.
You got anything?
Okay. Joy. Coming at you one more time for the phrase. This is going to be it.
Let me write this down.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. The rain beating down on a tin roof reminds me of watching a turtle cross the road.
The rain beating down on a tin roof reminds me
of watching a turtle cross the road.
Of watching a turtle cross the road. Boy, that's a little lengthy. Okay.
Okay, is it too long?
The rain. Okay, no, it's a look, that's the challenge. The rain beating down on a tin roof reminds me of watching a turtle cross the road.
Right.
Okay.
Because, Rob, I live in the country, so I'm thinking of our tin roof. That's what we have on the house. And then, of course, I'm always getting turtles.
Tin roof rusted.
Am I always getting turtles out of the road? Because you know how slow they are to try to, you hate to see
that.
Well,
how do you get turtles out of the road?
You get out of the car and you pick them up and move them off to the side of the road.
You stop the car and you move the turtle?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I know.
T-Bird, how long does it take you to get somewhere?
Well, no, I don't. It doesn't happen as much as you think. It doesn't happen like all the time, but because you know how slow turtles are crossing the road. So I like that. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that saying. All right. So you're going to do that with Fishback.
I'm going to try to.
Okay.
And then if I do, then I activate season 3 of Talking with T-Bird.
Okay.
The well, rain beating down on it. Then we lose Talking with T-Bird.
Uh-oh. Well, then there will be no Larry David or Lin-Manuel Miranda. Or Denise Austin.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. You got to pull this off.
Okay. I got this.
A lot of pressure, Rob.
Yeah. Stephen may not even pay attention when I talk.
No, you know what? I don't think he does. I don't mean that in a bad way. I think you guys are an old married couple. Not in a bad way. So you're both talking and you're listening, but you're not really listening. And then you're going on to the next thing. And then till one of you will say, now, what did you say? So maybe he'll do that. Now, Rob, okay, this is the last thing. I think you already have my winner pick. You didn't give me your winner pick.
I can tell you my winner pick is aligned with your winner pick. My winner pick has been Romeo this whole time.
Whoa. Well, that's, yes, that's a great one. Romeo, the pageant coach.
Yeah.
Yep. And him and Drea are right there together. So, okay, we're in sync.
Yeah.
We're in sync with that.
We're in sync. My winner pick says he's trying to help your winner pick be a better player.
Yeah. Now, see, those two, I think somebody asked me about Drea sharing her stuff with Romeo. If they stay tight, that might be the only person I trust. But anyway, those are two good winner picks.
Okay. Definitely. All right. We got this. All right.
We got this.
All right. So, T-Bird, anything else?
No, I know the listeners have had about enough of me, but oh yeah, one more thing. You asked me what I was watching, and there's one more I'm watching. It's What About Pam? Oh my God. You know, I told you I love 48 Hours, Dateline, yeah. 2020. I love it. That's my thing. What About Pam with Renee Zellweger? She is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I
haven't heard anybody who's watching that one yet, but if you say it's good, maybe we'll check it out.
Only because Renee Zellweger is amazing. So she's actually going on our list with Denise Austin and Larry David and Lin-Manuel.
Oh, Renee. I mean, this is season three of Talking with T-Bird is going to be huge.
It's going to be... It's going to be really huge.
It's going to be big. Yes. Okay.
It's going to be big.
T-Bird, it's going to be the number one podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, we might win an award.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Check out season three of Talking with T-Bird, where T-Bird has guests with incredible interviews. We'll hear from Renee Zellweger, Larry David or Lin-Manuel Miranda, Denise Austin, and somebody from S41.
Yes.
Subscribe at robasawebsite.com/subscribe. Make sure you subscribe now so you don't miss it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
T-Bird, great job once again. This was so much fun to catch up. Cannot wait for the summer when we get back to Talking with T-Bird. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.